You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With a brand new digital broadcast for you for this Monday, July 9th, 2012. Brought to you by our friends at Lulu's Bayshack. Great live music down there on Fort Lauderdale Beach in Beach Place, the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. And those world-famous fishbowl drinks, fresh Florida seafood. So as far as Fort Lauderdale live music goes, oh, and to watch the fireworks for future reference for next July 4th. I mean, come on. Right on the beach, fireworks on a barge, perfect view from the seats by the window at Lulu's, the open air there. Ridiculous. Live music this weekend, Shindigs on Thursday, some band called Nobody's Fault on Friday night, and Smoke and Mirrors Saturday night. So great lineup this weekend at Lulu's Bake Shack. Also, our friends at Glaceau Vitamin Water, Into Energy Drink, and the folks over at Rush Couture with that great clothing line. Thanks to all our sponsors, and be sure to click on their links and show some love for them for keeping the Bill Murphy Show alive. As we touch into a great genre of high-energy music today, and we're going to straighten out whether we're talking to a band from California or New York, because it's sort of a hybrid, female-fronted pop punk band. Say that 10 times fast. Featured artist at pickthaband.com. Thanks to Roy and everybody over there for hooking us up with Venice Joyride. I have Malin and Brian on the phone with me. Thanks for joining me, both of you, via conference call today.
Hello.
It's so cool.
Thanks for having us.
I love how you're described on your Facebook page. It's melodic pop punk with a huge set of stones, which is a great way of describing it. Their debut album, Breaking Through the Silence, is available now on iTunes and at Amazon MP3. This is going to be a very interesting thing to discuss, because this is one of those albums that was sort of self-produced, self-manufactured. It says here in the in Brian's bedroom, where it was all put together, and I really want to know more details about how that was going, how that happened. So, Brian, why don't you start with how things got started with Venice Joyride, the idea behind the band, and how long ago did you first get started?
Okay, so I've been playing music since about 2000, and after a couple of failed attempts in the studio with different friends and family filling in, and a barista managing a restaurant, I decided to go to school for sound engineering. While I was there, literally within the first day, I met Alex Pavlov. And a few weeks into school, he told me, hey, if you have all these great ideas, we should start laying them down.
Uh-huh.
So we were learning how to record, and we started the process. After about 2.5 months, we had 10 songs. At least all of the instrumentals completely tracked and a brief mix on them. And from there, with, of course, the help of my cousin and his guitarist, Jesse Resk, who later decided to come join our band, we started looking for singers.
You wrote some music and had, as you were creating it, you had a female vocal melodies in mind for it at the whole time. So how did that happen? I mean, why are you not a singer yourself, or did you just have your mind set on something that was female fronted?
I used to be a singer, frontman, and my voice has kind of degenerated over the years. It's Red Bull's fault, really. No, I'm kidding. I love Red Bull. but it just made business sense. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're, that either Alex or I or Jesse belong in the movie Magic Mike or anything, but, we're decent looking guys, but we figured business wise to really push the music, we need a smoking hot female singer with a big voice.
Well, there you go.
And, what's that?
Yeah, well, I said, well, there you go. It's a very good idea, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
So we searched.
It seems like it not only was it a musical decision, but it was sort of like a marketing decision. You knew that let's, for lack of a better term, sex sells, and you had this idea because it would probably garner more attention than just you guys on stage. So I guess what I'm saying is a very smart way of thinking about it. It was twofold, not only musically, but, kind of marketability wise.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Great stuff. So then in walks Malin and gets in on this, and we'll have you talk about how that happened. What I'm interested to know is, did you lay down some scratch vocals for her to sing to, and yourself? Did you, what was on there for Malin to learn from when she came in to check it out?
So we had failed attempts from about seven singers, one of which we almost completed the entire album with during the process, and then it just fell apart at the last minute. So I had shared all the instrumentals with Malin, and some of the songs that we had recorded with one of the previous singers, just so she could kind of get a clue of where we were going as far as the vocal melodies
right.
were concerned. And she really dug it. Malin kind of has her own thing. She does, I mean, she makes magic, that's for sure. But she kind of has her own little vibe when it comes to vocal melody. So she, you know, she wasn't, you know, disrespectful at all. She wasn't, you know, snarky or anything like that. But she said, I really want to work with some of this stuff. Why don't you give me a week and I'll get back to you. So, you know, a week later, I get a phone call and she says, okay, I'm ready to come to LA. I said, all right, well, I'm ready to have you. So as soon as you book the flight, I guess I'll see you out here.
Excellent.
So she flies out, hops in a stranger's car, and I was 2 hours away from an airport with someone that she's basically just met.
Yeah.
And driving away, she starts singing some of the stuff that she had come up with, and I was floored. I was blown away.
Well, so Malin, when you got in, when he says he got on a flight and went to LA to do this with Brian, where were you coming from? Are you the New York part of the band?
Yes. I am based out of New York right now.
Okay. Is that where you were born and raised?
No, born and raised in North Carolina, but I've been in New York for about 5 years.
Okay. And you're leading up to Venice Joyride, what had been your singing experience? Had you been in bands before that, or was this?
Yeah, I've been in a band here for, you know, almost 4 years, and it ended up breaking up. And I kind of just was a little lost for a little while trying to find another project that I really believed in New York.
Right.
So I was just searching. And so then I thought, like, wow, I just was really getting disappointed that I should start, you know, broadening my search. And so I was like, you know, I've got friends in Los Angeles. Why don't I try seeing what the music scene's like over there?
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's when I came across Brian and really, really liked the stuff and was like, let's take a chance and see what happens.
Now, just to pause for a second and get a little insight into that, because I'm wondering, you know, if anybody's listening that's an aspiring singer or is, you know, maybe looking to get involved with the band and is trying to hook up with other people, how does one find someone like Venice Joyride? And we're curious to know about your sources and where you looked and how you ended up stumbling upon them. Where did your searches take place? I'm sure there would be a lot of people
that
would be curious.
Craigslist
no
is everything.
Way. No way.
Yep.
It's just as simple as Craigslist. Wow.
It's as simple. I mean, of course, like, you know, there's a lot of information on Craigslist. You really have to be a savvy musician to weed through everything.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of junk out there. But it's just when you can get a really good feel about what people are doing and the quality of their work and when people send you samples and everything. And that's what Brian did. And I really loved the music. We had several phone calls. I really loved the whole vibe I got from everybody. So.
Wow. And now, Brian, now that you now that I hear it was Craigslist, it makes the whole jumping in the car with a stranger thing even more scary.
Yeah, it was a really big risk. I was like, I can't believe I'm getting on a plane right now to go meet a total stranger.
Wow.
But I mean, I guess, you know, it's a chance, a risk. I don't know.
That's excellent. All right. Well, we're almost 10 minutes into this show and we have not listened to any music. So let's do that. We're speaking with Malin and Brian from Venice Joyride, a very, very exciting sounding band. They're a featured artist on picktheband.com. You want to visit there, whether you're a fan of music or you're an artist, because it's a great resource. And we'll get into more detail about Pick the Band and learn more about this recording process of their debut record called Breaking Through the Silence. It's Venice Joyride on the Bill Murphy Show. This one's called Crash and Burn. Crash and Burn from Venice Joyride on the Bill Murphy Show. We've got Malin and Brian on here. And boy, after hearing that, I've got even more and more questions for you guys. Very, very well done. Malin, really nice voice. And it's, it would be really cool to know. Well, I guess Brian kind of explained to us that he left a lot of that open to interpretation and you weren't really locked into melody that they gave you. So a lot of that is yours and the way it's phrased and all that, right?
Crash and Burn was one of the only songs that I really liked Brian's original melody for.
Right. Okay.
There's a few little like tweaks and this and that, but that was a song like that he had already done, and I really, really just dug the lyrics, I dug the vibe, I dug the message of the song. Right. That's probably the only one that we really kept pretty close to what it was. Everything else was, I think, pulled down from scratch.
And Brian, okay. That's very, very cool. And Brian, I'm finding it after listening to that, I'm finding it a little hard to believe your little beginner audio production guy story that you told me at the top. It really, really sounds polished and nice. Let's start with a little bit of the geeky, techie stuff on here, because I know I have a lot of producer types listening to that. What platform are you guys? Are you guys on Pro Tools?
Yeah, we did everything Pro Tools LE through a Digi 003 Plus.
Very nice. So there you go. That speaks... it's a nice testimonial to how the whole Pro Tools LE thing. It's almost like that is a tool that is even better than it really needs to be sound quality wise, and it just sounds fantastic. Nice work. So, how much of it? Because I'm hearing a little bit of natural feel in there. It doesn't sound as how do I describe this? It doesn't sound as click track locked as it may be. So how did you walk that line between making sure everything was all locked in and then also making it sound like a performance and have that human element there?
Really, the key to not having it overproduced in that sense is to basically allow the guitars to really do their thing and create that sway.
Right.
All of the drums were beat detected and sure, lined up to the grid. So that it keeps a very good tempo through it, but some of the swing that you find in the guitar playing is really what gives it that that lively feel to it.
Very, very well explained. I thought that's what I heard, and I wanted to hear you explain that for the producers out there that may be listening. That, you know, loosen up, guitar players. You're the ones that are going to create that feel, that behind the beat kind of feeling that makes it sound more human and more live, which is awesome. I commend you for that work. Very well done.
Thank you.
So the process, how long of a process was this to get all the tracks together? I think if I have my timeline right, you guys started recording this sometime in 2010 and then completed it, what, earlier this year?
Yeah, the music took approximately from start to finish, including writing for about five of the tracks, about 5 months.
Right.
To get all the music locked in. This is done part-time for a few hours here and a few hours there, because, again, I was in school and had work while this was all going on. Once the music was done, we took that long time to find Malin, and surprisingly enough, it was a total of 1 day of pre-production and 14 days of recording over three separate trips on Malin's end. To lay down all of the vocals, and then another few weeks to get it mixed after that.
Okay, yeah, and then Malin, I guess that leads me to kind of this question is, I guess you had to be kind of careful about how you spaced out your vocal recording sessions so that you didn't like shoot your voice out in 2 days. How did you take care of that?
I mean, it definitely was like a really tough process, just because I would come out there for like a week and we tried to maximize, you know, everything. So it'd be, we'd really write in the morning and solidify the melodies, and then we'd try to bang out like as much recording as we possibly could, go take a little break, eat some lunch, and then come back. So, it was definitely tough, but doable.
Yeah.
We made it work.
Definitely works. And this is the record that we're sampling here is Breaking Through the Silence. It's Venice Joyride, very, very cleverly named band. I always like to find out from all of my guests how the origins of these band names that you come up with. It Venice Joyride, in two simple words, just kind of creates a very, very clear image and just an instantly fun feeling. And I don't know, where did you come up with the name, and whose idea was that?
Well, Venice Joyride kind of came up when I first came to California. I stayed out in Venice Beach. It was the first hotel a friend recommended to me, and so I booked it. And Brian was like, by the way, did you bother to consult a map? Because that's about an hour and a half away from Camarillo, where I live. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. The reservations were done. I was pretty much stuck there for a week.
Right. Well, as I'm sure you you learn later about LA, everything's an hour and a half away from everything. So.
Everything, yeah, I guess so.
Right.
So he would every morning drive all the way to Venice Beach to pick me up, and then we would drive back out to Camarillo to record, and he would take me back to Venice Beach, and then he would go home.
Uh-huh.
So every morning, pretty much, we would try to, I would have like little changes in vocal melodies. We would really solidify a lot of stuff. That way, by the time we got to his house to start recording, we would already have made the most of our time.
Right.
So essentially, like, a lot of the changes in a lot of the album were written in the car, just in that little journey back and forth every day. So I kind of was thinking about it, and we were trying to brainstorm band names.
Wow.
And I was like, what about Venice Joyride? And it kind of was a joke at first, but then we were like, oh, wow, we really like it.
No, that's fantastic. So your distance from the studio kind of worked out in a way.
It worked out in our favor. It was just a very nice, relaxing, beautiful ride.
Right.
You know, all along the Pacific Coast Highway and everything, to really kind of like sing and work out some parts. And yeah, a lot of changes and a lot of album happened in the car just between there and Camarillo.
Fantastic story. See, that's the kind of stuff I love when I do this show, to hear the inside scoop on that. So a lot of the arrangement and the band name came out of that that ride back and forth,
yeah,
to the studio. That's great stuff. All right, we're listening to Venice Joyride. We're going to listen to another track from this record, Breaking Through the Silence. Malin and Brian are on the phone with us. We're going to learn about the rest of the personnel in the band. I want to make sure that everybody else that's in the band gets the props that they deserve, details on where to get the record, and hopefully some info about some upcoming gigs when we come back after listening to Twist, Venice Joyride from Breaking Through the Silence on the Bill Murphy Show.
Like that. what goes around is coming back this time.
Twist from Venice Joyride on the Bill Murphy Show. Great sounding stuff from their new record called Breaking Through the Silence. We're talking with Malin and Brian, and it's you know, it's heavy. It has an attitude, but the melodic is the key thing there that really keeps it together for me anyway. I love having that much melody in there. And you guys described this as a female-fronted pop punk band. And the best description was on the Facebook page, as we mentioned earlier, melodic pop punk with a huge set of stones. And but there's attitude, but it's not angry because the melody is pleasant enough and fun. I think you've got a little bit of everything there. You must, you guys must be very pleased with the way this turned out.
Yeah, I'm really so happy with how everything turned out. It's just exactly the sound we were going for. I think we kept just right, you're right, the same amount of balance through everything. So
and speaking for going for the sound that you're looking for, in order to capture this record, the sound that you have on this record live, you guys actually have six members in the band. There are four others. Let's hear in detail about who the other guys are in the band and what everybody does.
So Malin is our fantastic lead singer, great stage presence, great performer, absolutely fantastic. I play rhythm guitar, and I do the screaming and a little bit of the backup vocals. Then we have Alex Pavlov, our brother from Toronto, St. Catharines, Toronto area. He plays lead guitar. And then we have Jesse Resk, who is also from Canada, Vancouver area, who plays the second lead guitar. We have Alex Pierce, Pennsylvania native, but recently relocated to Southern California. He plays bass for us, fantastic bassist from Berklee School of Music. And then we have Dustin Yule, also lives here in Southern California. He plays drums. He's a Musicians Institute graduate as a level 3 drummer. So
there was one thing about this recording, Brian, that I forgot to ask you earlier, and that's about the drums. Now, you said it's a bedroom recording, and I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, how much of a home recording it is, and how do you manage to get the drums recorded like that? Was there any other location used for that part of the recording?
I don't want to say that the drums were sampled, but they were sampled.
Okay.
That's a fantastic drum program called Superior Drummer.
Okay.
as I said earlier, I was working with my cousin, Max Stark, who's also a Musicians Institute drummer, and he did the programming for the drums, which, if you know anything about MIDI, anyone can just hit, okay, trigger. But really, the velocity and the mixing comes into play when the programming's done to really give it that live sounding feel, so that not every snare hit is 100%.
I'm giggling because I was really kind of expecting to hear that, because I am such a proponent of Superior Drummer 2.0. It's not even funny. I've used it on the last couple of projects that I do, and it is just, it's nothing short of remarkable.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really, really is. And so that is even more impressive. So there's two questions, all right, since you and I, nobody else will pay attention to this part of the interview. I'm just going to get into this part with you. But two things I'm curious, knowing that you use Superior Drummer 2.0, which, by the way, is from Toontrack. I highly recommend it. I'm not an endorsee of it, but I will freely just go on here and endorse them because it's just an amazing thing. And Pat Thrall, the amazing guitar player, Pat Thrall is the brains behind that and engineered most of the original stuff at Avatar Studios in New York. And so what I'm wondering is, did you use the multi-out feature of it and go ahead and produce the tracks individually, or use the one that's self-contained in there on two tracks? And the other thing is which drum sample was that? Was that the metal samples that they have?
Okay, so the kit itself, the drums themselves, not a preset, but it's a preset that my cousin came up with based off the New York Avatar kit.
Okay.
The cymbals, however, are the Metal Foundry expansion pack, and I gotta say, if you're gonna be using the Superior Drummer 2.0 and you want cymbals that sound fantastic, you have to get that upgrade.
Right.
The Metal Foundry upgrade is it makes a world of difference when it comes to the cymbals.
Right. So the metal and the metal foundry, the metal foundry upgrade or upgrade update on that would and you're when you say that it would you don't even necessarily have to be doing metal to use those cymbals. They just sound that good.
Oh no. Just the liveliness of the cymbals, the crispness, the sustain of the cymbals. It's the farthest away that you can get. At the time, it was the farthest way that you could get from it sounding like it was sampled.
Right,
so
excellent.
That's what we went.
And then the other part of the question.
As far as using the internal mixer or using the multi-out, to be honest with you, the combination of both on all the songs. As I said, my cousin created these fantastic presets to make everything sound exactly the way that we wanted it, and we did a print from the internal mixer out into Pro Tools. So we have a stereo track going of the drums performing. And then in the mixing process, as you're adjusting levels and EQing out either mud or brightness from any of the your given tracks, you're going to need to enhance certain other parts of the drums. So, for example, I noticed that I lost a lot of the ride cymbal because of where it was sitting in the mix and the frequencies that it was sitting in the mix.
Right.
So I had to go back in and bust out. I think on that program it's the close room mic and do a little EQing, a little filtering and compression so I could get that ride cymbal and place it a little bit louder in the mixes and of course, you know, increase the toms, really get that kick pumping and get that snap on that snare that we were looking for.
Yeah.
So all in all, we're looking at about the full stereo drum track and then about 10 or 12 bust out tracks that we did some EQing and parallel compression on.
Wow, such great detail in these little studio tricks. And sorry to reveal about your sampling of the drums thing, but it's something you should be proud of. You did great, great work on that.
Thank
and I enjoyed hearing all those details, even though we may have alienated everybody that was listening to the interview up to that part. But hey,
no.
That's what this is all about. I mean, we love to get into fun with all the technical details and find out how this stuff is created. Because, I mean, in all seriousness, Brian, it's an amazing world we live in where, and I guess, Malin, you could speak for this too, about how, you know, amazing the world of self-creation is now. We don't have to be dependent on gigantic studios and big labels to get something A, made and B, released, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nice that, you know, a band just starting out can have the tools to do something and make a really good product on their own.
Yep.
It opens a lot of doors.
And well done. And you guys are a great example of, you know, not only just having the tools, but having the wherewithal, the patience and the know-how to get it all done. And again, I really appreciate you guys coming on. It's Venice Joyride. They're a featured artist at picktheband.com. Go to picktheband.com to vote on bands that you want to see. That's a really good little barometer. How did you guys get involved with Pick the Band, Brian? And what has that kind of, what kind of exposure has that gotten for you guys?
The funny thing about that is, first of all, the exposure has been fantastic. The guys at picktheband.com are awesome people. They actually approached us because they heard a few of our songs. I couldn't tell you from where, but Ro and Malin had actually done part of the last band, had kind of done business with each other as Ro was starting Pick the Band, and he never made the association that. He just heard Malin's voice, said the voice is great, the music sounds great. They ended up figuring out through the emails that they had been in business with each other on Malin's past project. So
oh, wow.
Kind of
it was a really strange coincidence.
Wow.
When I saw Roy's name pop up in the email, I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's very, very cool. Well, he's been a very great source for us, and that picktheband.com is, we've had a number of bands that have been featured there on this show. And, you know, it's a great, like a mutual music society because they get the show a lot of exposure and we give the band some added extra exposure, which I hope that I'm able to do for you guys. I hope my, my audience has now been sufficiently turned on to Venice Joyride and are going to Amazon MP3 to get the copy of the album right now. So again, thanks a lot, you guys, for coming on and sharing the music and any upcoming dates. If anybody's in the LA area listening, or
our dates are to be decided at the moment, but everyone can expect probably late August, early September. So just keep checking our Facebook, and we should have some dates up around then.
And at this point, you're using your Facebook page to kind of be the main source for information on Venice Joyride. You're also at VeniceJoyride.com, correct?
Yeah, either one. Any of our media outlets will be fully updated. So.
Excellent. I really appreciate it, you guys. That's Malin and Brian from Venice Joyride.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Hang on for just a second. We could say some formal goodbyes, but wrap things up. And we've got more new shows coming up this week, so stay close to BillMurphyShow.com. We really appreciate you guys listening, liking, and sharing, and hope that you'll continue to do so. Catch you next time later on this week.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.